In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Christ is among us. Welcome to all the visitors today with us at this Melkite liturgy on this Sunday, Mayfair Sunday, Last Judgment Sunday. Tomorrow begins the final week of the Triodion, this three-week preparation for the holy and great season of Lent. And this week, this coming week, the faithful will begin now to abstain from meat. And indeed, Mother Church liturgically has already been preparing you and me for the great season, the great holy season of Lent, a season of asceticism, a season of discipline, a season of training. Now, tomorrow, we'll begin one more step into the spiritual warfare, abstention from meat. Grasping well our human frailty, grasping well our human weakness, Mother Church eases you and me into this great spiritual struggle. May our Lord, God, and Savior Jesus Christ, the gift of His Holy Spirit, to the prayers of the Theotokos and of all the communion of saints, fortify you on your journey, on my journey, toward the great and bright event of Pascha. Yesterday, as part of this continued preparation, was the Saturday of the Dead. The Saturday of the Dead happens every year on the Saturday before Meat Fair. It is one of two specific occasions that the church liturgically commemorates all of those who have fallen asleep in the Lord and are on their way into eternal life. Why? What's this reason? Selfless love impels the church to commemorate those who have fallen asleep. Authentic Christianity, apostolic Christianity, is not a doctrine of individual salvation. I'm going to repeat that. Authentic Christianity, the apostolic church, is not a doctrine of individual salvation. Personal, yes. Individual, never. When you and I were baptized, we were joined to the body of Christ. And so intensely connected are we that St. Paul says, when one member of the body rejoices, the whole body rejoices. When one member of the body suffers, the whole body suffers. By baptism, you and I have been intricately connected to the very body of Christ. We are not saved as individuals. We are saved, we are joined to a people and to a body. And we move forward as a body. The Lord gave that great commandment, the great new commandment, agape, charity, selfless love. There is no room in that understanding of it's just a me and God relationship. Agape, selfless love, that is the hallmark of the baptized life. Anyone with a lived faith, we are measured by our selfless love. Selfless love, that is the foundation. It is what holds the body of Christ together, because selfless love is at the very heart of the life of the Trinity. Saint Ignatius of Antioch, that great second century saint, a bishop, aptly described the church as a communion in faith and charity. That's the church. The church is a communion of people united in one faith and in one love. What's sin? Sin is the antithesis to communion. Sin is disordered love. Sin breeds what? Separation, alienation, isolation. And what the modern Western world thrives on, individualism. Such a word, individualism, did not exist until the last 300, 400 years. In fact, Latin, the ancient language of Latin, never even had a word for individualism. It didn't exist. People saw themselves always in relation to the community, in relation to the family, and their relation to the church. You didn't see yourself as an entity separated from everything and everyone else around you. The new life given to you and me in baptism, that new life that is strengthened by the gift of Holy Eucharist, this new life witnessed every time the church comes together for liturgy, whether it's the divine liturgy or when the church comes together for Vespers or when, as we begin Great Lent, for Great Compline, liturgy is a witnessing, a manifestation, and an experience of what? Of life reconciled with God, self, neighbor, and creation. The four great relationships. The four great relationships. It restores, it reconciles relationship with God, self, neighbor, and creation. The new life that we received on the day of our baptism was a life of restored communion. No thing about individualism. Restored communion. Commemorating and praying, therefore, for those who have fallen asleep in the Lord continues the very mission of the church, the mission of reconciliation, the mission of restored communion. In Christ, there is no difference between life and death. Whether we are in the body or out of the body, says St. Paul, we belong to the Lord. Commemorating the dead and commemorating and praying for them, therefore, is a very act of witnessing to the reality that those who have fallen asleep exist. They are alive. And it by praying for those who have fallen asleep in the Lord is the recognition that we are still in communion with them and they are still in communion with us. In the person, the living person, Jesus the Christ. Impelled by this selfless love, the church is solicitous for those who have fallen asleep just as much as she's ever solicitous for you and me. Selfless love. It's actually the theme for Meet Fair Sunday. I'm sure there's other ones out there, so I'll say it's a theme. But a key theme for this Meet Fair Sunday, a key theme for the Last Judgment. The gospel lesson is the parable of Last Judgment. When the Lord returns to judge the world, what we call the parousia, what will be his criterion of judgment? When you and I stand before the Lord, how will he judge you and me? The gospel parable gives the answer. Selfless, disinterested love. The gospel that we heard today, Gospel 25, is not an abstract call to social justice. It's not about social action. It's not about devising some new program to end world hunger and to end world poverty. Matthew 25, what we heard today's gospel, is about agape. It's about charity. It is concrete, personal, particular, selfless love for any human person you come in contact with at any moment of the day. A de-Christianized secular society will identify Christian charity with politics, economics, and social causes. The focus shifts from the unique individual person and his or her personal situation, and all of a sudden we start talking about the masses, the classes, the races. No name. No face, this ambiguous entity. Now, indeed, that has its place. But that's not the concern of Christian charity. Charity is the act of becoming Christ to a particular person whom you meet, whether it's foe or friend, a stranger or an acquaintance. Christian charity is not the work of philanthropy, altruism, and it's not the Boy Scouts doing good deeds. Mother Teresa was not a philanthropist. She was not a social worker. St. Basil the Great, when he arranged and set up the first modern hospital, was not about trying to just do good deeds. These people, they were transformed by the God of selfless love. And they went about loving other individual people. People who had a name, they had a face. They came in contact with these people. Thus, at the heart of agape, at the heart of selfless love, is an enduring, real, and intensely personal relationship with God. In God, I am able to love the most unlovable person. Hence, while social activists and the political realm will talk about people, summarized in the words like humankind and mankind, abstract phrases, Christianity speaks in terms of individual concrete people. I know his or her name. I have seen, I have touched that unique face. For the social activist, the object of love is not a particular person, but it's humankind in the abstract. For Christianity, humankind is lovable because it's individual people set apart from the masses. Social activism sacrifices too often the individual person for the common interest and speaks more often in terms of some future hope of justice. Christianity is not about some future hope justice. It's right now. That person's hungry now and I feed him. That person is sick now, and I help them. That person is lonely now. He's isolated now, and I help that person now. A theme of the Last Judgment calls your attention and mine to selfless love. While some are called to the noble work of justice in the world, that's but for a few. The reality is that every human being is created for personal love. Real people are in prison, are sick, are thirsty, are hungry because they have been denied personal love. As members of the kingdom of God, you and I have a vocation, a mission, a responsibility to love selflessly. On whether or not you and I have fulfilled that responsibility, shall we be judged? Quote, inasmuch as you have done it unto one of these, the least of my brethren, you have done it unto me. The Father, Son, Holy Spirit.